الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. Today, I'm not going to do the usual introduction. I'm going to go right into the lesson. And it's going to really be part three of a series of episodes about the jobs of the angel, which although I cover in these three lessons, there's many more jobs that the angels do, much more to their responsibility. And I mentioned before that the angels, man is made from clay or clot, if you will, and the jinn is another being. They're made from smokeless fire, and angels are made from light. And the angels are nur. The angels have different responsibilities, and I want to get into some of their responsibilities or some more of their responsibilities. And one is their taking of the soul from the belief or the one who believe and the one who don't believe and what happens there. So you have the situation where a person who believes in Allah and worship Allah, and the danger of death come to them to take their soul from the body. And we're talking about the one that is who is a believer. And so then believe in Allah and worship Allah. And that person's soul is taken out in a gentle way, in a kind way. As I mentioned before, that they like water running through a faucet. And so really smoothly, they're taking them out. And they cover them with a sort of a cloth or a, what you would call a cloth or silk cloth that is fragrant. And then they wrap them around that, and then they take them up to first heaven, and then the angel, the guardian at the door, says, who is it? And they identify themselves, who's with you? And then they say, so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And then this sweet-smelling soul will be passed around amongst those at the door, and then they'll be allowed to go to the second heaven and third and fourth all the way up. And then certain things happen at the seventh heaven, and then they're put back into their soul, or into their soul put it back into the body. Then a person who is a disbeliever, the angel takes their soul in a rough way. There's sort of a battle between the soul and the body, trying to keep the soul in the body and try to keep the two of them together. At the same time, both of them trying to blame each other for the predicament, because they pretty much know that what's going to happen to the soul because it wasn't attached to a good body and doing the good deeds. And so finally, they are taking out the soul from the body, and they're wrapped into this cloth, this really, really harsh woolen-like cloth or canvas, if you will, from the place we call the hell. And they're wrapped into that, and then they're taken to the first heaven. And in the first heaven, the angel that guards the door said, who is it? They identify themselves, the angel. They say, who's with you? And then they say, blank person, son of so-and-so, or so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And they say he or she, they're not allowed to go any further. They cannot enter. And they bring them back to earth. And then you have, then once they're back into the body, then you have them, of course, we bury the person in the grave, good or bad person. Person believe in Allah, don't believe in Allah. And then at that point, I mentioned to you all before, is that we're in the ground. And then what happens at that point is that the person that's in the ground, they can hear the footsteps of their wealth and their family going away. Because three things go with them to the grave and then two goes away, and one goes into the grave with them. And I mentioned to you all before, and that what they hear him over the top like a walking. People are walking away. And so that was me. That wasn't your car or anything that or something around you. That was me making that sound. And so you hear them walking away. And those two things, your wealth and your family, they walk away. And what goes to the ground where you are your deeds. And so you have angels in the ground, and they Munkar and Nakir, and they tell the person to sit up. The manner in which you're sitting up, or all of us are sitting up, okay, that I don't know the manner, is that we sit up, and then we ask questions. And we ask basically three questions. One question is, who is your Lord? What do you know about this man, Muhammad? And also, what was your deen, or what was your religion when you were on earth? And then we will answer the question. And those who answer the question, who believe in Allah and the angels, and also the Prophet Muhammad believed in him and follow him in the religion of Islam, and then they will get treated in one way, a very nice way. And those who say, well, I don't know anything about these things. And so the angels will have this sort of this large hammer with them, and they will hit the person with the hammer. Everything around will hear them, except for human beings will not hear them being tormented or tortured in the grave. Other things will happen in the grave. I'm not going to get it. I'm getting into that right now. But other things happen to them in the grave. I'm just more so getting into what the angels do. They take the person's body. Their soul from the body, and take their soul up to this heavens, and also they put them in, and then we put them in the ground, and they rejoin their body, and then the angel Munkar and Nakir, they sit them up and ask them questions. These are some of the jobs of the angels. And so I know some of you may not believe it. I'm not here to make you believe it. I'm just here to tell you what Islam says. It's up to you if you believe it or not. And then, of course, I mentioned to you all before about the recording angel. Because if you look in your Quran, and all of you should have a copy of Quran, because that's the text that's required for this class, and look in chapter 50, verse 17, again, chapter 50, verse 17, and it says, as for the two recording angels, one sitting to the right and one sitting and the other sitting on the left, noting everything. And so please keep in mind, all of us, we have that. Matter of fact, we even have more than that, because with each individual, all of us, particularly those who reach the age of maturity, and so a puberty, then all of us have five that are assigned to us. And one of those five is a devil, and sometimes called Kareem or devil. And these are the ones that whisper to you and tell you to do wrong things, and up to you to decide to do the wrong or not to do the wrong. That is your choice. Because the devil's going to say on the day of judgment, look, I didn't make him do it. I didn't make his hand do it. I didn't make his mouth say that, or walk towards whatever thing you walk towards that was not right to do. I did not make them do that. They did that on their own. I suggested it to them, and they carried it forward. So we all assign devils, and that really is what they do. That's their job, to try to persuade you to do wrong out what we call Sirat al-Mustaqim, off the path of righteousness. And so that's one. Then you have the two recording angels, which I mentioned to you, your proof you can find in chapter 50, verse 17, about the two recording angels, one on your right side and one on your left side. And again, you have those angels, and one on your right side recording your good deeds, and one on your left side recording your bad deeds. So that's three so far. And the other two that are assigned to you are the what you call the angel of protection, the ones that protect you. And they protect you from what is not decreed. In other words, anything that is decreed that's supposed to happen to you, written to happen to you, then it's going to happen to you. Those angels, get out the way, part ways, and let that thing happen to you. But anything that's not scheduled to happen to you or written to happen to you, then they block that from happening to you. Say, for example, something as simple as an ant going into your ear or an animal attack you. So they may, if it's not meant for that to happen or written for it to happen, then they will help you and protect you from those things. But if it's written to happen to you, then they don't have a choice. It's already decreed, and so they have to get out the way and let what is written happen to you. And so I want to mention that, those few things to you. And of course, before I mention you all about the blowing of the trumpet, right now you have the angel that are blowing angels of the trumpet is Raphael with the trumpet to his mouth and just waiting for Allah to give the go ahead. And then, from my understanding, you have basically two blowing of the trumpet. One blowing will make us sort of swoon and faint, and everything will be destroyed. And then the other one wake us back up, so we stand for our Lord, naked, uncircumcised, and be judged according to what we did in this world. But the trumpet is at the mouth of the angel, and just waiting for the order from Allah, at the lips of the angel, and waiting for the order from Allah to blow it. And then they carry out the orders of Allah. And I mentioned to you before, when I mentioned the ayah, I thought the chapter 27, verse 20, where it mentioned that the angels, they glorify Allah day and night, or night and day rather, and they glorify Allah night and day, and also they do not waver, never waver, and they're found their responsibility of doing what Allah says. So I want you all to keep that in mind. I mentioned several things, the jobs of the angels, and I've been mentioning that for the last few weeks. Another job of the angel, of course, and I don't think I mentioned this yet, and that is you have two angels every day come down from the heaven, and one of them says, "Oh Allah, compensate every person who spins in your cause," and the other angel says, "Oh Allah, destroy every miser." And so look at yourself and decide, okay, how are you being prayed for by these? The one saying to Allah, compensate you, or is saying to Allah to destroy you. So what destroy you as being a miser? And so you have to look at that. You have those two coming down. Which one are praying for you, or are they praying against you? And so my beautiful students, I want you to memorize and know these things, the jobs of the angels, because that's what they do. For at birth, they're there. When you first, they're appointed to the mother. And I said to you before, is that they say, oh Allah, you have a clot, a sperm, flesh here. Okay, what do you want to do with it? Is it going to be male or female? Is it going to be a good person or a bad person? And how long is it going to live? And say all these things are signed at birth, that you're when you're in the womb of your mother. That's one of their other jobs, which I mentioned before. And so I want to say this to you, and so you also understand, because you are very learned students of Islam and understand Islam. And so I'm going to say something to you because of your level of understanding of Islam. And that is in the battle, you had the Jibril, which is an angel. You saw something they call him Gabriel. He came to the prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, and asked him, how do you estimate among those who participate in the Battle of Badr? This is one of the battles that the Muslims participated in, a fight against those who fought against them. And he replied, the prophet replied, they were the best of Muslims. Or he may have said something like similar to that. And so Jibril, the angel Jibril, he also mentioned the same is the case with the angels who were at Badr. Badr is B-A-D-R. And so he was saying they were there too. You may not have saw them, seen them, but they were there also fighting by the side of the Muslims. And you have some scholars that say, well, it was reported that while the Muslims were at battle fighting against the people who fought against them, is that they can hear like a crackling of a whip. And so it wasn't from them. It was the angels that were with them, assisting them in the battle to win the war against those who fought against them. So you have some other job of the other angels to be by the side of those who believe in Allah and fight in the cause of Allah. And so I want to mention something else, and because of your level of learning, I'm going to mention something else, and that is you have also mentioned some angels that roam around. And what I mean by that are the Roman angels. Roman meaning R-O-A-M-I-N-G. No people sit, it was said by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, no people sit in the gathering remembering Allah, but the angels surround them, mercy covers them, tranquility descends upon them, and Allah remembers them before those who are with him. And so we see from this is that I would like to add something to that. You have some that say that the angels, they go around looking for these groups of people that are remembering Allah, reading the Quran or something like that. And so they let other angels know, look, I found a group that's remembering Allah. And so they go and join up with that angel, discovery angel, if you will. And they surround them and cover them with mercy and peace there and Sakina upon them. And the beautiful thing is that Allah remembers them before those who are with Allah, those who are surrounding Allah, other angels, or whoever Allah allows to surround them, they're surrounding Allah. And so these are other jobs of the angels looking for those groups of people that are remembering Allah. And the last thing I want to mention is that when Muslims go to Friday services, because our day of congregational prayer is Friday, like for Jewish people is Saturday, and for Christian people is Sunday. That's the day of congregation, and our congregation is on Friday. And so what happens is this, is that when Friday comes, angels sit at every door of the mosque, that's the place of worship for the Muslims, and record the names of people who come in order of arrival. When the imam comes out, meaning the one who's going to be the khatib or give the sermon, they close their records and listen to the sermon. The first one who comes to the prayer is like one who sacrifices a camel. The one who comes after him is like one who sacrifices a cow. The one who comes after him is like one who sacrifices a ram. And so on until he made mention of a hen and an egg. And also one of the others, called a Sahaba or companion of the Prophet, he said, and whoever comes after that comes only to do his duty about his prayer, his obligation. He just did it to satisfy his obligation. And so you have angels that, again, are at the doors of where the Muslims go to on Friday, and they write down who arrived and when they arrived, and of course, and the earlier you go, the more blessings it is for you to go, or sacrificing the camel and the cow and so forth, the ram. And Then, of course, once the imam comes out, we call a khatib, or the sermon giver comes out, then the angel close their book, or angels close their books, and they go and listen to the sermon of the person who is presenting it, presenting to the people. And so I just want to mention that these things to my beautiful students about some of the jobs of the angels. And there are a lot more jobs of the angels, and I won't get into that right now, but I just want to let you know some of the other jobs of the angels. I had 3 episodes that we covered the jobs of the angel, and this is the 3rd of the 3. And so I want, my homework for you is to find out other jobs of the angels. And just for your own information, what are some of the other jobs that I did not mention? If you only get one, that's fine. Get more than one, that's even better. But what other jobs or responsibilities do the angels have? And I want you to look that up on your own. So you may say, Imam, how am I going to look this up? Well, you can look it up by going to a corner of a masjid, a place where Muslims worship, and talk to the leadership there, or the person who is the local scholar there, and ask them, well, what are some of the responsibilities or jobs of the angels? Because the belief of a Muslim or Muslims, what they call Aqidah al-Mu'minun, is that is the belief of a believer, and is that they believe in Allah and his angels and his books and his prophets and life after death and his decree. So there's several things that the Muslims are to believe. And as I went into detail about believing in the angels, it's one of our belief. And I just want to go a little bit further in the specifics, which talks about what the jobs are of the angels. And they have a lot more jobs than what I mentioned. And that's why I want, that's your homework. Once you go and get in touch with an imam, a scholar, in the Muslim community, and ask them, what are some of the other jobs? Say you're one of my students, and what are some of the other jobs of the angels? And so that you have that for your own information, something that I didn't give to you, but you went on your own and learned on your own. What are some of the jobs of the angel? You can look it up for yourself if you like, or you can ask to go to a place of worship and ask the leadership there about what are some of the jobs of the angels. I want to thank you all for being here today in the class. You have been in the class of the Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your instructor, Imam Dr. Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.